Welcome to Let's Chat, a weekly podcast dedicated to discussing the Sunday sermon from Asbury Church in Wichita, Kansas. You are invited to join the discussion on the Sermon Discussion Facebook group page. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Let's Chat, our sermon discussion podcast. My name is Susan Innes. I'm the Congregational Care Pastor here at Asbury Church, and I get to chat today with
Nathan, worship leader here at Asbury.
And
Steve, intern with Pastor Rick Just.
Yep. Great. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me. So just first impressions about Sunday, considering everything we were dealing with on Sunday. How'd it go?
I thought it was good. My background is in intercessory prayer, and it had been a while since I've heard a message on prayer. So for me, that kind of grabbed me and grabbed my attention more so. Not that Pastor Rick doesn't grab my attention, but, you know, just something that I can relate to and apply in my life. And that's something that we can do. Awesome. Easy. Yes. Prayer, you know, so I enjoyed it.
Cool.
Yeah, prayer is a big subject. Like, I'm always wanting to, like, I guess, boil it down to something more specific so I can understand it. And I just haven't ever really gotten that anywhere because, I don't know. What do you think about that?
It is hard. So even just to put the sermon together was, you know, you can get so expansive with it and you can cover so many topics of, like, how to pray and different types of prayer and definitions of prayer. I mean, there's so much you can discuss. And so, yeah, we really had to pray about it. And Pastor Rick had some definite ideas of where he wanted it to go. So we kind of tried to stick within those parameters because it's, you know, a lot of people will tell you that even atheists and agnostics will pray. Right? All different religions pray. There's so many definitions and things out there. So,
Yeah, I see that a lot on social media. People ask for thoughts and prayers, or the people that aren't Christian or believe in God, they ask for, you know, positive vibes good vibes, something like that. But it's interesting. It's basically, it is the same thing, only it's their terminology that they put on there, you know, send good vibes and thoughts instead of prayers or
interesting. Brings up a pretty deep question. I'm going to just dive right in. So someone's asking for good vibes and we're praying, right? We're bringing them before God, interceding for them. Do you think God can participate in that as much if they aren't a believer who can receive what God is trying to pour into them? Wow.
We're just jumping off there, aren't we?
Yeah. Sorry. It just made me think that, you know, if that person doesn't have a relationship with Christ, how effective can our prayers be?
I don't know. I could see God granting the request of the prayer. I could also see him, like, granting the request for the person asking as a sign. I don't know. It's like it really depends on what God wants to do and needs to do with that person.
I mean, you could almost go back to whatever it is that God, it's his will. That's what's going to happen. But it could be that he's trying to reach this atheist person, and he's going to do it through their request of prayer as well. So, and maybe that's that light that, or the scales that follow their eyes, like, you know, Saul did on the road to Damascus. And that's when they can finally see God. It's because, okay.
And you can imagine that the Christians were praying that God would do something to intervene for them with Saul coming to get them all to round them up and put them in prison. And, you know, you would think there's prayer involved. And then there's also the time he uses Balaam and his donkey, and Balaam doesn't know who God is. And that's in the Old Testament. And, you know, he uses them to protect Israel.
But what about Abraham? Wasn't he... His family was worshiping pagan gods. Like, did he even know who Yahweh was at the time? Or, like, who is he praying to?
Right.
Yeah.
And how did he get to know who God was?
Yeah.
You know, because if you're going to take your son up to a mountain and possibly sacrifice him, he must have spent a lot of time in conversation with God, I would think, to get to know who exactly it was he was following, worshiping, you know, because he left everything for God, for Yahweh.
I also noticed I'm working in Hebrew, so pray for me.
that needs prayer.
And some of it, you know, they talk about the angel comes down or God comes down and talks to Abraham. And Abraham isn't, like, afraid of the voice or the angel. His response is, here I am, or I'm here. Here I am, God. You know, he'll yell out, Abraham, Abraham. And his response is, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
His response isn't to go run. So there had to have been some sort of relationship that they had there for him not to be scared. Because in other parts of the Bible, you hear the angels say, do not be afraid, you know, when they're coming in. So this wasn't, they just first name basis. And he's like, I'm here.
Yeah.
What's going on? So.
Yeah. I think if I had an angel appear before me, I would be a little freaked out.
Yeah, exactly.
I haven't, if any of you have ever had that happen, I would love to hear the story.
Yeah.
I would love to hear your reaction and how that conversation went, because that would be something I have never experienced before. And, you know, I feel like I've had God talk to me in different ways, like responding to prayer, either through the Bible because I'm reading scripture, or through other people, you know, who give me a word from God, or even just there's this constant kind of voice sometimes in the back of my head saying the same thing over and over. And so I can pray about it and trust that it's some leading from God. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's, you know, I've never had an angel actually.
Yeah.
Come on down and say, here is what he's saying to you. So you'd mentioned, Steve, about we have to go back to God's will and that he has a way and a plan for everything. So why do you think we go ahead and pray? If God's going to work it all out anyway, why do we do that?
That's a good question. I would have to say probably the reason we do pray is because if we pray for a situation, we pray healing over an individual and that person becomes healed, that we point our glory back to God. And as Christians, as followers of Christ, in everything that we do, that's considered an answered prayer. We always want to give glory back to God. So I think that's why we pray, is to give glory back to God. Now, when answers aren't answered or prayers aren't answered, you know, then that's when we can go back to, well, it wasn't in God's will. Now, that doesn't mean
it's hard to hear when you're in the middle of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you lose a loved one and you're praying for healing, well, maybe their healing is in heaven to get away from the hurt and, you know, everything else. I don't have a specific answer for that. That's definitely above my pay grade,
right,
as they say. Amen. But that's just kind of, you know, we're praying for God, and then when he answers the prayers, we give glory to him. And when he doesn't answer it, we just go down that path. I do. I'm not speaking for everybody, but go down that, well, it's God's will. It's God's way.
Mm-hmm.
So, still glorify him.
Yeah, before, I agree with that. But before we started recording, we had also started talking about, do we think that our prayers can change God's mind? And Nathan, you had an interesting response to that, because you said there are many schools of thought. Because so often we as Christians are kind of trained to think, no, God's will, God's way, so he can't change his mind. But you...
Well, I've kind of got this method now of trying to go back and see what the Bible writers were saying, because I know different schools of theology will say God doesn't change his mind, or he does, or things like that. So the different theological camps have their different positions, and I don't know who's right or wrong if I look at those. So I try to go back and figure out what did the original authors say, and if I do that, I feel like I can find some stories where maybe somebody granted a request and they prayed for something, and God did something that he wouldn't necessarily have done otherwise. But there's other times he doesn't, like David's praying for his child to live, and that child doesn't. So, like, God might not always do it, but I don't think it makes total, just for me, if you're thinking about what a relationship is, it doesn't make total sense to me for God to not, you know, give us any influence. Like if there's not some reason for us to pray, and maybe God does something that he wouldn't have done if we hadn't asked, like that's a relationship. But if we're just praying and like God does what he does anyways, I think that might be the case sometimes, but seems like for there to be a relationship, there's got to be some interaction there, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I had kind of added to that, that I also feel like God knows who is going to pray and when we are. You know, if he's timeless and he holds the beginning and the end, then, and he knows about us and how our days are numbered and the amount of hair on our head, and he created us, our eye color, skin color, hair color, all that cool stuff. And I don't know that he necessarily changes his mind as much as he knows that someone's going to be praying into that, and he's willing to work within that for his glory and our good. I sometimes wonder if we get hung up on, but this is what we want to have happen, when the Bible tells us repeatedly to pray into God's will, mm-hmm. right? To pray according to God's will. That scripture I had, I think it was the Romans passage, where the Spirit will help us to pray when we don't mm-hmm. know what to pray, but that's because the Spirit knows God and knows God's will. So mm-hmm. I don't know. Any thoughts to add to that?
Yeah, so kind of along what you're saying about the Spirit prays for us and our groans, mm-hmm. something like that. So just kind of a funny story to go along with that. So we're teaching our daughters to pray around dinner time, mm-hmm. and my daughters are 5 and 2, and I remember my five-year-old, when she was about 2, she would get up there, and it was just mumble, 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 mm-hmm. God, mumble, mumble, thank you, mumble, neighbors, you know. But that, for me, was in our time as adults, we don't know what to say, and we do have our groans and our mumbles, but it's the Holy Spirit that's interceding for us and mm-hmm. speaking on behalf for God, or to God for us. So that's the fact that sometimes we don't know what to pray. You know, we might be going through a situation or know somebody that's going through a situation, but I find myself there. God, I need to pray for so-and-so. I don't know why or what, but I'm going to pray. And mm-hmm. you know the situation that's going on. And you see those sometimes. I need prayers, can't give you the specifics, but pray for myself or my family or something. But it's in those moments that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us through our groans and grumbles, and it just reminded me of my daughter praying. I didn't know what she was saying. You know, she had a vocabulary of like 30 words or something, and she was bringing out a fifth of it. So, but it's interesting because God knows what she was saying. God knows what's on our heart. God knows what's in our hearts as well when we pray. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I'd share that.
Any thoughts too, Nathan? Did you have anything to add?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I wasn't sure. We saw that look on Nathan's face. I wasn't sure whether he was trying to jump in there or what.
No, I was deep in thought.
Okay. Nathan's always deep in thought.
I get lost.
Yeah, lots of questions.
My thoughts.
We also got emailed a couple questions here, and one of them was saying, you know, Asbury's prayer page is largely about healing. And so if you go to our prayer page and you're going to pray for others, it is largely about healing on our prayer page. And I'm going to be honest with you guys, and I'm going to kind of pin you all down out there who are listening to this. Why aren't you telling us the other stuff? If you're in the middle of a broken marriage, if you're in the middle of a job crisis, if, you know, you're having a financial crisis, if, you know, someone in the family is not getting along, there's a division in your family or work relationship, whatever it may be, we have a lot of healing on our prayer page because that's what we hear about. And we can only pray about things for you as we hear about them. So I'm just kind of, I guess, a little plug there as well. You know, bring your other stuff, because I love, there's a quote out there, I can't remember who it's from, that says, you know, church should be more like a hospital than somewhere where we all come with our nice clothes on and all, you know, freshened up for the Lord. You know, we get to be our broken, freaked out abnormal selves in front of the Lord. And so I thought that was interesting. And then the other question that's on here that I really want to tackle with you guys, it says, should we not ask for personal things? There are many places in the Bible where we pray for ourselves. Even Jesus prayed for himself, especially during Gethsemane and into the crucifixion. And I would say, yes, how about you? Yes, we should definitely bring our concerns to the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, if we didn't, I almost think bringing your burdens to God in prayer is a sign of a deep relationship. That's something that nurtures a relationship, I think. So yeah. I think it's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and even more so, like me, I'm trying to discern my call. into ministry or whether where I'm supposed to go after I graduate from seminary. And so I'm in prayer a lot about myself and what I need to be doing or where God is calling me. And I don't think if I'm not praying about that or for that or have others praying about that or for that, then I'm just going to continue to wander out in the desert. And mm-hmm. I don't know if I have 40 years left in me. So, but you know, yeah, absolutely. We're to pray for ourselves. Now, I don't know if we should be praying for, you know, the Maserati, the latest and greatest Maserati that's out there or something, because I don't know how that would be beneficial for the kingdom of God or glorify God. Mm-hmm. But if you're going through struggles or you're trying to discern something, what you think God might be calling you to do, absolutely pray for yourself.
Yeah.
And ask others to pray for you as well. You know, you're saying back to healing. Well, reason that maybe that is so much so is because people might be embarrassed to say that they're struggling financially, or they're embarrassed mm-hmm. because they're struggling with their spouse or something like that. But if you make it available to where they could get a hold of leadership, pastors, staff in a private message, then maybe we could come forward and say, hey, I know an individual that's struggling with a marital issue. Mm-hmm. Can we pray about them? And put that out there instead.
Yeah, and if you're listening to this, that's definitely how that works here. We normally ask, do you want this kept confidential or made public when we get a prayer request? Sometimes we forget, and apologies do have to be made because things haven't been posted that they wanted posted, or things have been posted that they didn't want posted. You know, we're human. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, if you come to us and you say, look, this really needs to be kept confidential, it's kept between the pastoral staff exclusively. And then we just try and keep in touch with you and let you know that we're thinking of you, praying for you. You know, it we definitely don't have to put anything out there, you know, and we can even just put a name out there on our prayer chain, right? We don't have to put any details. Mm-hmm. Like you're saying, God knows the circumstances. God knows what's going on, and we know, you know, what he's going to be doing. So, and then there's another question here. If the main purpose is for us to listen to God, why not just say so and not hold out the hope that they can change events? I think it's 50-50, right? We talk to God, but we also want to make time in our prayers to listen and hear from God. Like Nathan was saying, and Steve has mentioned, it's a relationship. And in relationship, we not only talk, but we also listen. You know, it's a two-way street, a mm-hmm. two-way avenue.
I think it could be a good exercise, too, to like take inventory on what you're praying about, or like how much time do we spend just praying for personal stuff? And are we praying for other people and things like that? Because that could reveal something, like we're too focused on what the Maserati, new guitar I want, or you know. Like, yeah. I'm not sure that's necessarily what God wants, but kind of thinking about like what are we praying about, and I think bias comes into play too, because mm-hmm. if we get too focused on those things, then we might zone in on that and get tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. And miss what God is actually doing, or the bigger, more important things. So, yeah, I'm really curious to go back and see if we can find some more stories where someone prayed and like God actually changed what he was going to do.
Changed his mind.
Like
mm-hmm. Supposedly,
we were talking about it. We're like, I know there's more examples. Just can't think of them right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like that sentence you use, take inventory of your prayer life, right? It is. It's always good to look back at what we're praying for, maybe what we are caught up in, and readjust as we feel God leading us to readjust. So, no.
Can I be a little soul naked here,
as
I like to
course.
Say? I'll try to be brief with it. And it's a personal story about me and a struggle that I had. Most of you probably don't know, I'm divorced, I'm remarried, happily remarried. But years ago, when I was going through my divorce, I wasn't a Christian, anything like that, but I started to pray that for God to heal, for God to fix my marriage. Mm. And it wasn't going anywhere. But it wasn't until I started praying that, God, I want to be happy again. I changed that train of thought, because I thought if I got back with my ex-wife that and got my marriage back, that I'd be happy again. But it wasn't until I changed my prayer for me to be happy, that things really started to shift and things started to come into focus for me. So sometimes we get so hung up on our prayer of, and we don't see the change, I guess, or the answer that we're looking for. But sometimes we might have to critique it or tweak it a little bit, not critique, but tweak our prayers a little bit. And that's when you might start to see those results.
Well, so that's interesting because that almost represents you letting go of the thing that you really wanted and saying, okay, maybe God is doing something else
for me. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's happened a lot. If you have a chance to watch the sermon that this podcast is connected to, it was on August 8th, 2021, and it's called Until We Pray. At our 8 o'clock service, we had a missionary that we were praying for, Michelle, and at that time we believed she was still alive. And by the 10:30 service, we found out she had passed. Mm-hmm. And so to see how, if you have a chance to watch both services, there's a bit of a change in the tone of the service and the sermon. And in there, I mentioned about my mom having dementia and turning 90. And it's taken a lot to keep adjusting my prayer life around my mom, you know, because it's easy. I know where she wants to go. And it's easy to almost pray her life away. And I don't want to do that either. Mm-hmm. I want to make the most of the time that she is here as best as she can and I can. Mm-hmm. And so it does. It takes a real inventory. So, and also if you're kind of watching us for the first time, just wanted to give that little explanation of why the two services are so different and who Michelle is. Michelle and Mitch Arbeloz were from Asbury originally, and they got sent out of Asbury as missionaries down to Florida with Go To Nations. And Michelle, for those of you who maybe still don't know, actually passed away on Sunday from COVID down in Florida. And so it affected the congregation even in a big way. They attended the 10:30 service most often when they were here. A lot of people knew them. And so having to adjust in that scenario as well, the Holy Spirit did a lot on that Sunday. Yeah. So if you get a chance to go back and watch those services, you might see a little bit of difference. Or if you're visiting this Sunday, we want to kind of to give a further explanation of why the mood kind of changed in the way our service would run. And as always, if you have other questions about prayer, we would love to hear from you. If you have questions about Asbury, check us out. Be sure to email us, call us, whatever. We are always happy to be in conversation about what's going on here. But any other thoughts about prayer before we wrap up today, guys?
Just do it.
Just that Nike. <Yeah. laughs> It's good for prayer, too.
I have a closing question.
Okay, go for it.
So
I'm scared, though. Yeah. It's Nathan.
How does all of this tie into that doing church versus being the church?
I think a lot of times when you are going to church and you're just going, for example, I was at a different church recently when I was away, and they were saying the Lord's Prayer. And I grew up this way, our Father who art in heaven, like it's almost rhymy, sing-songy, right? Mm-hmm. We have heard it so many times that we don't even think about what we're saying. Being the church, we want to think about what we're saying. If you all ever watch me do the Lord's Prayer, I kind of go off. But that's because I want us to know, that we really do want God's kingdom to come. Mm-hmm. We do want his will on earth. We do want him to, deliver us from evil and be with us, guard us, guide us. There's so many ways you can go off beyond the Lord's Prayer, and I think going to church is when you get so hung up on the way you've always done it and the way it always sounds in your head, and prayer becomes a big part of that. A lot of people don't have a deeper prayer life because they're following like their prayer book or a certain set of prayers all the time, and then they haven't developed it on their own. Being the church allows God to really effectually guide your prayer, guide our services, guide what we're going to do here next at Asbury, right? So it's just a more effective use of the Holy Spirit when you're praying as someone who's being the church instead of going to church. Did that make any sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I had a situation kind of like that. I'm not the greatest person at praying out loud. Maybe I'm getting better, but my struggle is always trying to be natural about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, years ago, different church, when I start being asked to pray in a service, my boss was always really encouraging. Like, always felt like what I was praying about, as timid as I was or whatever, that it was honest or something, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. But other people would try to change how I prayed, and they'd tell me, look, you always need to end your prayer in Jesus' name, and, you know, why aren't you doing this, and why aren't you praying this way or that way? So then I started to think too hard, and so
yeah, don't overthink
I started
it.
Doing that mm-hmm. stuff, and I thought, wait a sec, doesn't Jesus know that I'm praying to mm-hmm. him, like yeah. whether or not I say this every time and things like that. So I don't know. I kind of felt a little bit of tension there between, you know, how do you pray just being the church and being authentic versus maybe some of the constraints that have been put on us mm-hmm. that might be a little bit more man-made.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I've struggled yeah. to completely free myself. So honestly, when I was doing the offering prayer Sunday, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm not going to say in Jesus' name this time. I'm just going to say amen. And it's not that I wouldn't ever say yeah, that again, yeah. but it's like, I'm just going to let this prayer be me. I'm going to pray like
yeah.
me,
yeah.
how
mm-hmm.
I
yes.
would pray. Yep. But it's hard, you know?
Yeah.
I had, I was in charge of some youth back in the day at my old church, and we were talking about prayer. And the different types and all that stuff. And a lot of them came up. It's like, I just don't know how to pray. Or I feel like I don't have the vernacular, the word, the terminology down on how to pray. And I told them, I said, you know, basically what prayer is, it's just a conversation between you and God, which it's not really any different than how you talk with your friends. It's mm-hmm. it's a relationship conversation that you have. And telling that kind of opened some eyes for them, because they don't have to have in Jesus's name, they don't have to have a set mm-hmm. Words that they have mm-hmm. to say, you know, just talk to God. And when you're in prayer for people, just talk to him, pray to him like you're talking to your friends. And that got kids, that got youth to step up and open up in prayer and close in prayer or Sunday nights and or, you awesome. Know, Wednesday and everything else, because I think there's such a stigma, like you were saying, you need to pray. You need to say in Jesus' name. Well, that's not necessarily true. I mean, I don't think it says that in the Bible, does it?
Jesus doesn't say that you can only yeah. pray to him.
Yeah, yeah. exactly.
He prays yeah. to his Father in heaven. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's certainly not a bad thing to say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we don't have yeah. to be the prayer police either.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who's going to want to pray then?
Well, we got enough police out there as it is, you know, grammar police anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know if Jesus, when he went up and he prayed, I don't know if he entered his prayer in Jesus' name, in my name.
In my name.
In my name. Amen. I don't think so.
Exactly. And I do think really just in the simplest definition, being the church is genuinely praying from mm-hmm. your heart. What God mm-hmm. already knows is on your heart and mine. So, which, yep, we kind of talked about on Sunday too. Yep. It's a great place to, and I do think we need to realize as a church though, that, you know, nothing changes without that prayer. That prayer is foundational. Yep. So, well, thank you guys. It's always fun to have a chat with the two of you, and thank you all for listening to us today. We hope you have a really blessed week. Take care.
Thanks for taking time to listen to Let's Chat, Asbury Church's weekly podcast dedicated to discussing the Sunday sermon. We invite you to worship with us on Sunday mornings or anytime via our website at www.asburychurch.org, YouTube, or Facebook. Then let us know what you think about the sermon on the Sermon Discussion Facebook page. Have a wonderful day.